Welcome to the podcast of Radius Church. This podcast is presented in the context of our Sunday morning service. We hope you enjoy this presentation.
Like, the goals that I have today is, one, that you would be challenged today. The second is that you would be encouraged. And the third is that you would have a deeper connection with Jesus than you ever have before. I believe that every single time we get in the presence of the Holy One, we get a little closer to His presence. We get to figure out a little bit more about who He is. You got to understand, there's a lot of time in our life we focus so much on trying to figure out who we are, we forget that we need to look to the One who made us for those answers. So the more we look to the One who made us, the more we figure out who we are. So as we jump in today, I believe that that's going to require a couple things. One, your engagement today. That means this. That means you got to shout me down, family, all right? If you don't know me yet, you know that I'm loud, I'm expressive, and I'm keeping it together right now with my hands like this, all right? So what that means is this. If you hear something good, I need you guys shouting back at me, all right? So I want y'all to do me a favor real quick. I want you to think about whatever sound, whether it's a grunt or an amen or whatever it is, you're going to yell, okay, when you hear something that's good, all right? Think of it. In the count of three, y'all are going to make that sound. Ready? One, two, three. Love it. Love it. Come on. You guys are a live church, and I like to see that. The second thing this is going to require is this, your authenticity. You know, the most important thing we can do is be genuine. If Jesus knows us from the inside out, which He does, and loves every part of us, He loves us without any, like, without any equivocation, then that means we have the authority and the ability to be authentic. What you have going on in life today is real. The struggles you have in life today don't change when you walk through these doors. But the God that's in this room right now, where two or three are gathered in His name, walks out with you every single moment of every single day. The God that's inside of you is the God that put the earth on its axis and the universe, like the universe and the stars in space. He is the One who spoke you into existence, and He still calls you by name. And the fact that He called, yeah, come on, we can give hands like that. Yeah, you got it. Here's the thing, family. If you get excited, you better get excited, okay? I want to see expression because God created expression. And if we take on the world on our own strength, then we're living an inauthentic lifestyle because the most authentic I can be is in Christ and Christ in me. Can I get an amen in the house? It's time, family. It's time. It's time for us to embrace who we were called to be. And that is what this looks like today. So your engagement and your authenticity. Can I encourage you with a very simple statement that is true? God's in the room. You know, this reality is not predicated upon your awareness, though. It's just true. It's time to allow your faith to inform your awareness. I believe it's easy for us to walk into a space and we're like, you know, like my wife, Bobby, she rarely, like people talk about feeling the presence of God. That's not how my wife works. When you ask her about her dreams, the better question to ask is, what are her goals? Instead of asking her what she feels, the better question to ask is, what does she think? Anyone else like that? Come on. Like, there are people like, let me tell you, we have a mixed bag of people. We have all been created differently. So our experiences with God are going to be different, but that doesn't change what's true. God's in the room. And if God's in the room, then literally the next 20 minutes could be the most impactful of your entire life. That's it. That's it. So with that, I want you to do me a favor. We're going to pray because we need to, like, I want to just posture my heart toward heaven. Well, can we do that together? Yes. Let's pray. Jesus, we thank You that You're here with us. Before anything else, we give You all honor, glory, and praise. It's for You and You alone that we've been set free. It's for You and You alone that we can live, move, and have our being. It's for You and You alone that we can find purpose, hope, and understanding, and it's because of You and You alone that we can stand in a place redeemed, even though the world and ourselves would say something different. God, I thank You, Lord Jesus, that the moment we have in this time today is not just a moment of being together, but it's being with You. And Lord, I pray right now that You would awaken hearts like never before. I speak dreams in people's hearts and minds that have laid dormant for years to come alive in the name of Jesus. I pray, God, that You would help people who have been stuck in addiction or stuck in frustrations, Lord God, that they would find hope. For those who are stuck with confusion, I pray You'd bring understanding. And I pray a fresh anointing anointing on every single one in this room today, not just to walk how they were meant to walk, but to be who they were meant to be. In your name we pray. Let's say amen together. You guys ready for this? Y'all ready? Come on. I got my water. I got a high top table that's taller than me. I love it. So as we jump in, we're just going to go directly to 1 Kings chapter 19, verses 19 through 21. 1 Kings chapter 19, 19 through 21. You can see it in the sky behind you. If you have your Bibles, grab them. If you have notes, start taking them. Here's where we start. This is one of my all-time favorite scriptures. So Elijah, he went and found Elisha, son of Shaphat, plowing a field. There were 12 teams of oxen in the field, and Elisha was plowing with the 12th team. Let me set the stage for you, okay? 12 teams of oxen, he's got the 12th team. Do you know the role of the last team of oxen? Their job is to follow the other 12 teams. That means that there have been 22 other oxen that have walked in front of his two. Now, think of what he's walking through, okay? Imagine it for a moment. He's plowing, but his job as that last team, because he can see where everyone is to keep everyone in line. Okay? It's not just that he's going down a row. It literally means he has to watch and help take care of the other teams that are leading, that are in front of him. How exhausting is that at times? Because we want to like just do life. We want to go through the motions. I don't ever feel like you're just going through the motions, right? But for Elisha, this is not an option for him. He has to stay attentive to what he's doing. So this is, I want to set that stage, and we'll come back to that in a minute. Okay, so here's the deal. He's plowing with the 12th team. Elijah went over to him, threw his cloak across his shoulders, and then walked away. Now, Elijah, a prophet. If you know the story of Elijah, you understand what I'm saying. If you don't, I want to explain for a moment. Elijah was a prophet in the Old Testament that God used mightily. He was also known as having many, like, super highs and super lows. He went through depression. He went through anxiety. He went through isolation. And he went through powerful moments with God where miracles and signs and wonders took place. I want to encourage you right now, this is what you need to know. Your experiences in life, what your struggles are, do not dictate how God wants to move through you. Your struggles don't, your lives don't, the thing your family doesn't, where you've grown up doesn't. The only thing that matters is embracing the one who made you. And when you do that, the power of God flows through you. You are not your source. God is your source. You might have mind monsters today, but he's going to give you victory in people's lives tomorrow. There are things you've got in life that won't maybe change the way you move, and you might walk through it for the rest of your life. Paul, if you know Paul, wrote most of the New Testament. He talked about having a thorn in the flesh. There was a struggle that he had, and he said, you know what? I was trying to ask God to take it away from me and take it away from me, but God said what? My grace is sufficient. I want to encourage someone in there. I was praying about this during worship. I wasn't going to talk about this, but I think there are people in this room right now where you have discredited or devalidated yourself to do what he's called you to do because you see your struggles as bigger than your dreams. If God gave you the dream, it's time to run after the dream. There's an old statement, an old adage I've heard a lot. It says this, it's time to stop telling God how big our struggles are and start telling our struggles how big our God is. It's time. You are valued, you are validated, and you are set apart, and he has called you to do work. Don't stop. Don't allow what has gone on in your life to keep you from doing what he's created you to be. Amen? Not who that's for today, but I really felt like I needed to say that before going any further. You can tell after Wyoming Youth Convention, again, if you know me, my voice gets hoarse, man, for real. So I'll be drinking lots of water today, as we all should, right? As we all should. All right. That we're going to move on. So as it says this, it says Elijah throws his cloak on Elisha and walks away. Elisha left the oxen standing there, ran after Elijah and said to him, first, let me go and kiss my father and mother goodbye, and then I will go with you. Elijah replied, go on back, but think about what I have done to you. So Elisha returned to his oxen and he slaughtered them there. He used the wood from the plow to build a fire to roast their flesh. He passed around the meat to the townspeople. They all ate. Thank God for barbecue. Amen? Amen. Any smokers in the house? Anyone like to smoke? For real. It's the best. All right? He passed around the meat and they all ate. And then he went with Elijah as his assistant. I want to talk to you about the power of transition today. The power of transition. You know, one of the things I think we all have in common is that we go through seasons. Seasons of the year. I mean, it's obvious. Right now we're moving, like Thanksgiving is here. If you're like me, you've already been celebrating Christmas for the last month. Hallelujah, all right? But seasons come and seasons go. Seasons of the year, Christmas in July. How many people do Christmas in July? Anyone do Christmas in July? Oh, a few of you? Praise Jesus for you, all right? But seasons of life, seasons of pain, seasons of success, loss, comfort, victory, you could fill in the blank. We all go through seasons. I think our habitual focus ends up becoming on what's next, though, rather than realizing what's near. We get so focused on asking, what's next? You know, and for everyone in this room, I think we can think about this. How many people can say, I can't wait till that's over? We've lived that, haven't we? And that might not just be what the obvious, it might just be other things. I can't wait till this season is over. I can't wait till next season. I can't wait till what's next. And as a culture, we're so focused on what's next, we've forgotten to value what's near. I want to talk to you about what's near today. What's near? You know, it was in the transition that Elijah, when Elijah came and threw the cloak on Elisha, the cloak of becoming basically his assistant, becoming underneath the authority of Elijah and to follow him, that Elisha had to abandon the tools of his previous season to take on the mantle of the next. The oxen he had raised, he had trained. The plow he had worked with, sharpened, repaired, had to be burned before he could fully commit to the cloak of being a prophet. He had to say goodbye to what he knew, goodbye to the protection and comfortability of being known and provided for. Now, all that he had was God. All he had was God. You know, it's interesting. I was thinking about things that help us be comfortable. Abilities, conversation, roles. Like, even sometimes I think it's our own, I'll be honest with you, when I was younger, it was my own negativity. We get so comfortable in these different areas that we don't realize that in order to really fully embrace what's next, you have to let go of what you've been holding on to. You know, it's interesting. This man, he built, he was in this family. His family owned this field. He ran the plows. But in order for him to embrace what was next, he had to let go of what he was holding. He had to say goodbye to what he knew, goodbye to the protection, but he had to do something so he could hold fully onto God. You see, here's the thing. I don't believe this. I don't believe that he had to slaughter and burn the oxen or burn the plows, slaughter the oxen because they were symbols of his past. I believe it's because he would keep looking back instead of looking toward his future. You see, my question for you today, and this is, I want you guys to think about this for a moment. What are the things you have become so accustomed to you think they can come with you into the next season? Let me ask it again. What are the things you've become so accustomed to you think they can come with you into the next season? I'm not talking about moving. Some people might be. I'm just talking about life. I can't wait for that to be over. We're waiting for what's next, but maybe we're so focused on what's next, but that your struggles have followed you into your seasons. One season after another, it looks like it's the same situation, just a different face. You've gone through the same thing. The mind monsters have followed you. It doesn't matter the setting. I work with a lot of interns, and I have this conversation with quite a few, where they go in, they intern in one spot, and then they bounce to somewhere else. And they're like, the struggles are still here. I'm like, because it's inside you. It's inside you. You know, I really want to encourage you today. Before you start looking out, like at the external as being the reason for the challenge you're dealing with, allow the Holy One to show you what's inside. Amen. To show you what's inside. In Him, we live and move and have our being. If that's true, then the Holy Spirit resides in every single one of us. There's the power of the Most High God that literally courses through your veins. And if that's the case, then it doesn't matter what circumstances say, because circumstantial ethics are not my God, because His promises are true yesterday, today, and forever. His promises have never waned, and they will never dissipate. The power of God has been here since before time began, and will be God. It will still be here long before we ever say hello to Him in heaven. What God has for you and today and for me is bigger than us. Yeah. It's bigger. Yeah. And all He's asking for us to do is trust. And that's what Elisha had to do. You know, in order to step into that next season, whatever that is, I think that there are some things that we need to change. First one, I believe that we need to change how we see ourselves. We need to change how we see ourselves. You see, the life of a prophet, it really wasn't desired at the time. It wasn't. Affluence came with status. and affluence came with possessions. Elijah was calling Elisha to let go of all of those things. Let go of his affluence. Let go of his status. Let go of his possessions. Let go of his property. Let go of all of that. I wrote this down. Can you let go of your comparisons? Can you let go of your assumptions of why someone gets an opportunity but you don't? Even in shout outs, like where people like, where you're working hard and other people are getting shouted out and getting accolades or like getting supported or like applauded from a stage or in your workplace or in your school, they're getting applauded and you're the one grinding away and you're like, what about me? What about me? I cleaned this church. I took the trash out last week. Why didn't anyone say thank you or good job? Why? I'm trying to serve. I'm in Go Kids or Kids Ministry. Go Kids is at River Valley where I'm at now. I'm in Kids Ministry. I'm helping at youth. I'm trying to give. I'm trying to do all these different things, but no one seems to notice. Why not? It's like we're trying to give with strings attached. But love requires sacrifice. Love doesn't have strings because we follow Christ's love and his love has no strings. Who we are, how we see ourselves matters. See, this is a word for someone. Your sins and your flaws don't diminish your identity. Sure, they can hurl their accusations and lies at you all day long, but the act of failing doesn't get to call you a failure. The only one calling you need to listen to is the one who made you. And my question is this, can we all begin to simply see ourselves as children of God? Can we just see ourselves as his child? Can we see him as his son, as his daughter? If we're going to fully step into this next season, you'll begin to see why he called you as a child, how he set you apart, that you truly are powerful, that you are chosen, that you are accepted, that you are loving, that you are free, that you are grace-filled, and you are on this earth for such a time as this. That is the reality of who we are and how we need to see ourselves. Who are you? I'm his. I've always been his. And I'll forever be my king's. He is my father, and I love him. You see, in youth, at youth especially, or even here, some of you guys might have seen me, I was jumping. Do you want to know why I jump in worship? It's not just because I like music and I like to move, okay? It's because I know what it's like to be lost, and I know what it's like to be saved, and I know who's mine, Jesus. This is it. We got to change how we see ourselves. If you're gonna need to change how to see yourself though, and you need to change how you treat yourself and how you see the world around you, then you're gonna need to change how we pray. Second one, we need to change how we pray. Matthew 6:10. It doesn't say this where it says, let your kingdom come, your will be done through me as it is in heaven. It says, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Through me isn't in there at all. At all. You know, I think sometimes it's easy for us to like want to come to the presence of God and say, Jesus, and I know culturally we want to put our best foot forward. We want to say, you know what, this is me. This is all my strength. This is what I can do. These are the big things that I've got that I can give to the world, and I want to give this to you, God. Like, these are my strengths. This is what I've got. He's like, stop. Stop trying to be like, trying to like advocate for yourself because I'm the advocate. Stop trying to like move yourself forward because I'm the one that moves you. Stop being your own agent because I'm the one that stands the gap between heaven and hell for you. It's Jesus. We aren't the one that have to prove a thing because he sees everything about us. Every spot, every blemish, every wrinkle, every flaw, and he still calls you son and he still calls you daughter. That's who we are. And when we pray, it's so easy, family. Like, this is it for me. I got into this spot, just in the last couple years, where I'm just working hard, and I'm just grinding, and I'm pushing, and I'm giving everything I got. I'm trying to reach students, and I'm leading, like, helping support our church and all this, and I'm like, why am I so exhausted? Like, there's movement, but I just feel like I'm just beating my head against a wall, and I can't get through. And I spent time with Jesus. I took a day. My wife, you guys know, Bobby. If you do, she told me, she's like, Andrew, you're not you. You need to go. Didn't mean she was kicking me out of the house. What she told me to do, I went and got a hotel for 24 hours in a random town, and I got on my face in the presence of Jesus. And what I found, the Holy Spirit showed me, is that I was living a lie that was this. It's all on me. It's all on me. That was the thought. I love Jesus. He's my Savior. But all the work he's called me to do, it's all on me. When I'm trying to love my family, it's all on me. When I'm trying to support people, it's all on me. When I'm trying to preach, it's all on me. But that's not how it works. He's my source. He's my source. And he showed me this, and I got on my face. And I'm like, God, would you be my source? Would you be the center of my life? Would you change me from the inside out? Because I still need that today. I've been following Jesus my whole life, but I still need to be changed from the inside out. I don't want a fabricated version of reality. I want what truly is real and authentic. I want an authentic expression of Jesus, and that comes from prayer. Prayer means simply this, and worship, to get close. When was the last time you got close? When was the last time you got in God's presence and you didn't leave until you touched the hem of his garment? When was the last time? We got to find grit when we look to Jesus. We got to find grit in our pursuit of him. Matthew 6:10, manifest your kingdom realm and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it is in heaven. That's the Passion Translation for that statement. I love that. I'm going to read it to you again. Manifest your kingdom and cause your every purpose to be fulfilled on earth just as it is in heaven. Here are a couple quick prayers Jesus didn't teach us to pray. God, help me fulfill your every purpose. Holy Spirit, I just want God to use me to do big things. Anyone ever prayed this prayer before? Jesus didn't teach us this. God, what can I do for you? How about this one? God, help me not miss my shot. Those aren't prayers Jesus taught us to pray. What were the prayers he taught us to pray? Ask and I'll give the nations to you. If my people who are called by my name would humble themselves and pray and seek my face. Then I will hear from heaven and I will heal their land. It has nothing to do with you. It's got nothing to do with me. It has nothing to do with your strengths or your abilities. It has everything to do with Christ in you. Christ in you. Yeah, sure, you can live life and you can impact the world. I was impacted by so many coaches growing up that don't know Jesus, and they still influence me today. But I can tell you this, the eternal impact of a Christ-centered life will reap benefit. But over time, the course of time will allow that influence of one person that doesn't have that, the eternal Father influencing the world around them, that impact will begin to like diminish, because it's not about my strength, it's about God's strength. Yes. When was the last time we started walking into a room and realized that we're on God's purpose, not our own? It's time. This church, your church called Radius, what's the reason for that title? That you would impact the world where? Around you. It's not that, here's the thing, it's not that you're God's answer to the world today, it's that he's the answer and he wants to flow through you. That's it. It's not that you have to be the one to influence the world around you, it's that God wants to influence the world around you through you. Key difference. Take the pressure off. There was a student from Trinity Bible College that was here, and he felt like he had a word for a student. And he was like, I want to go talk to them today. I want to encourage them, but I'm afraid if I get it wrong. I was like, great. I'm like, do you trust God? Do you believe it was God who gave that to you? He's like, well, yeah, but what if they tell me I'm wrong? He's like, that's fine, because if you got it wrong, then you got it wrong. The pressure isn't about whether you say the right thing. It's whether or not God flows through you. So just embrace the fact that we make mistakes. Can we do that? There's a pastor, his name is Craig Rochelle, and he says this, people want to follow a leader who's real, not who's always right. People are connected to people who are real, not who are right, always. You know someone like that always will, like, even when they made a mistake, they try to like twist it so it'd show up like they were the one that was still right. Anyone know anyone like that? I see some people laughing. I see some shoulders laughing. That might have been you at some point. That is an insecurity, okay? And that is not genuine. It's time to be real, not worried about always being right. This is what we have to understand. The only way your heart will break for the things that broke God's is to be in his presence. Prayer makes us aware of his presence. I've talked a lot about this, and I really like, I just feel so strongly about repeating a couple things. In his presence, what do we find? Healing. We find rest. We find joy. We find strength. Understanding. Confidence. We find purity. Boldness. You find authority. And we ultimately find the passion of Christ. The passion of Christ. It's time to change how we see ourselves. It's time to change how we pray. And it's time that we change how we live. It's time we change how we live. Let's look back at the text for a moment. Elijah is sent to call up Elisha, right? Meanwhile, Elisha is working, not waiting. Elisha is working, not waiting. Elijah didn't find Elisha under a tree just staring up to the horizon being like, man, I wish something else would come my way. Here's the deal. With the immediacy that Elisha responds to Elijah, don't you think he realized there was something more for him? Don't you realize that there was an excitement that was building inside of an anticipation for what was to come? Maybe not. Maybe just a desire for something bigger or something just different. Anyone ever experienced those personal feelings or emotions or thoughts before? We've all have. We all do. But by the way, in Proverbs, it tells us this. A man's or woman's heart yearns for eternity. The only thing we all yearn for is absolute belonging in Christ. And if you, as we experience that, we're going to experience true freedom. But what we find with Elisha is he's ready. He's waiting, but he's still working. He's still working. His hand is focused on what's near as he's ready for what's next. Here's the thing. To take his place, he took that place behind that 12th team of 12 oxen. He was found working. Elijah found him plowing, pushing through another row of dirt in the dust, in the heat, in the mud. In that season, dead last, lining people up. But his destiny was to literally save God's people from their enemies. His destiny was to raise the dead. His destiny was to purify water, to heal lepers, to realign nations, and so much more. That was Elisha's future, and he was found working. It's so easy to start dreaming about what your future might be that you forget the value of what's near. Don't forget what's near. Don't forget. Just because people say you're meant for great things doesn't mean you'll do them. Just because you've got the skill set of a preacher or a communicator doesn't mean you'll speak to the nations. Just because you've got the skills to sing or to work or to be an engineer doesn't mean you'll have the opportunity to lead corporations or movements. None of that is true. Just because you've got the talent to lead doesn't mean you'll lead a movement. What's the first step? Before you do great things, God's voice has to become the loudest in your life. Before you speak to nations, you've got to speak to your own soul. Before you worship on mountaintops, you got to trust the one who can move them. Before you lead a movement, you need to lead yourself daily to the foot of the cross, to pick it up and to get in the dirt, to keep moving forward. In order to lead, in order to move forward, in order to embrace what's next, you've got to embrace what's near. So how do we move forward? This is where we're going to close. I'm going to invite the worship team up. In the book of Colossians, chapter 1, verse 11, I want to read something to you. 1, verse 11 in Colossians. I want to encourage you, by the way, to go home and look at this in the New Living Translation later. I have it in the Passion Translation because I want to focus on a particular term. And we pray that you would be energized with all of God's explosive power from the realm of his magnificent glory, filling you with great hope. I believe this. When we pray, you receive energy and explosive power from the heart of God to yours. There are a couple things we got to start doing. We're coming up to Thanksgiving, so I was like, hey, why not? Let's just think about things that we can be thankful for. Let's go, first slide. God, I thank you that your goodness gives me energy. Second one, God, I thank you that your goodness gives me strength. Third one, God, I thank you that your goodness gives me hope. Matthew 11, are you tired, worn out, burned out on religion? Come to me. Get away with me and you'll recover your life. I'll show you how to take real rest. Walk with me. Work with me. Watch how I do it. Learn the unforced rhythms of my grace. Are you tired? I see this church. I think about what God has placed in the leadership here, but I also think about what God placed in the leaders years ago. I think about the reason why this building was built and the hope that it would be for this community and this region. I think about the reason why we live. It's not to make money. It's not to become excellent at everything that we're supposed to be excellent at. That's not the reason. That's a perk. That's a part of our worship to Jesus. The reason we live is that he can move through us to reach the world. Because we're told, go and make disciples of all nations. It doesn't say go and be teachers. It doesn't say go and be engineers. It doesn't say go and be entered. It doesn't say any of those things. It says go and make disciples. Your occupation, the thing you do in life as a student or anything in between, is literally like the bridge that God has given you to reach the nations. That's why we exist. That's why we're here. When was the last time you wept for someone that doesn't know Jesus? You know, maybe you're in the room today and you hear my passion. And I can tell you this, it's not fabricated. I actually wish I wouldn't cry as much when I communicate. But my heart breaks for you, for those that don't know Jesus. I understand hope. I understand life. I understand what life in Jesus looks like. And I have only scratched the surface. If you're in this room right now and you don't have a relationship with Jesus, or maybe over time you've allowed the ebb and flow of life to make you become the center, or someone else or something else the center, can I tell you it's time to come home? It's time to come home. It's time to embrace the love of the cross. It's time to embrace the love of your Savior. It's time to embrace the one who calls you by name. Would you all stand with me? The worship team is going to sing a song, I Will Build My Life. I will build my life upon your love. It is my firm foundation. We're going to sing that in a moment. But before that, would you all just bow your heads for a moment? Just for self-reflection and respect for those around you. If you're in this room and there's something inside of you that's saying simply, man, like whatever, like this, there's more. Jesus needs to be at my center and I've realized he's no longer there. You'd say, you know what, Andrew? I've never had a relationship with Jesus that was fully in, or maybe never, ever, ever. It's time to say yes to Jesus. You're like, you know what, today's my day. Family, I can tell you this, don't wait. I don't care if you've had a relationship with Jesus for 50 years and you've allowed the last 6 months to bring other things to the center, or if you've never said yes to Jesus in your entire life. I don't care where you're at. Jesus, it knows, and he's the one that brings you life. If you're in this room today and you'd say, you know what? That's me. I want to make Jesus the center of my life again. I'm tired of living for myself. I'm tired of being the own strength that I need, or thinking I'm the strength that I need. I want Jesus and only Jesus. If that's you in this room, with every head bowed and every eye closed, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to invite you to slip your hand up, and you'll be able to put it right back down. One, you got to understand, I said it a lot, Jesus loves you. Two, he proved it by coming to earth, by literally giving up, like being like his glorious splendor of being God, his limitless power, becoming to earth as a baby. And he lived a spotless life to die so that he would die for you with your name on his lips. And then he broke heaven and hell and the grave by rising again so that you could stand here today and say, it's time, I choose Jesus. Three, are there any in this room? Yeah, yeah. Any others? Yes, 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 yes. Any others? Are there others? Yes. This moment is for you. No one's looking around. This is for you. Are there others? Yes. It's time to come home. We're going to say a prayer. with those hands that were raised today. If you have a relationship with Jesus, I want to encourage you to repeat this with them to support. And then we're going to spend a moment. We're going to go after God. Because frankly, all of us need him. All of us need him. And we need to tell our soul that he's the center. We need to tell our soul that he's what we build our life on. He is the firm foundation. We got to stop building ourselves these castles, these things that will burn at one time, at one point, and start leaning in to the one whose love will never fail. It's time for those who raise their hands, those who have a relationship with Jesus. Let's repeat after me. Dear Jesus, I'm coming home. God, I'm tired. I'm burned out. I choose you. I choose you because you love me. And you love me first. I embrace the fact that there are no strings attached. And I embrace being truly who you made me to be. Come into my life. Be my life's leader. Amen. Can we put our hands together for those 15 who said yes to Jesus this morning? Woo! You gotta know, all heaven is having a party right now. The Bible tells us when one comes home that everyone is waiting with bated breath in heaven for someone to say yes to Jesus. There's a party happening, and we get to too. We're not done. We have a couple minutes with this song. Can I challenge you to worship Jesus? Like this is your last 4 minutes to worship Jesus of your life? What would it look like? What would it look like engaging with the one who created you? And then Pastor Zach, you're to come on up and close us out. Let's get after it.
You have been listening to the podcast of Radius Church in Casper, Wyoming. For more information, please check us out at radiuschurch.live or call us at 307-265-9121. We hope you've enjoyed this presentation.